tries to make sense of this bizarre development, but nothing of what he's witnessed seems to fall into place.
3, 2, 1, record!
Recording.
You're listening to Lead Podcast, episode 414. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
You're actually also watching Lead Podcast, episode 414.
So, what's on your coffee mug there?
My group mug.
Oh, very nice.
So
I drank all my
coffee. Doing something fun? Oh, geez. That was tea, by the way. That wasn't coffee. But doing something fun today. A little something different. We were at a panel. We were on a panel last year.
We Boston actually got Comic-Con. Asked to be on a panel. That's, which,
yeah,
how often does that happen to us?
Never.
Sometimes,
occasionally, not
in it happened to us twice recently, and sometimes occasionally, either I'll be asked to host a panel or you'll be asked to host a panel or an interview, but it's yeah, better when we're together.
We've moderated panels, but this is the first time we were there as experts, you know, like being on a panel,
expert.
Well, I guess, right? I mean, I can.
Yeah, it is. But no, I know.
That's what we were asked as. I'm not saying we are.
Self-deprecation is kind of our thing.
Yeah, indeed.
If you're watching, which you're not.
So, it was Clay and I, our friend Ken Reed, Rebecca Doc Housel, is a, you know, an author and. Expert also in the field, and Tushna Lodi, who was the one who sort of put it all together, right?
Yeah, she's a producer for the Boston Sci-Fi Festival, which is the longest running sci-fi festival in the country, and it's really fun. They have 24-hour film festival things. We talk about that a little bit in the show, so I'll let her speak to that. But she's really great, and has always been super nice to us. And it's just super fun to be asked to do that kind of thing. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I had a lot of fun as well. And it was fun. We talked about like representation and stuff like that, and comic book movies and stuff like that. So like it's still relevant, even though it was technically a while ago. A year ago.
It's a year ago. We kept this in the can, and we didn't obviously know that there's going to be quarantine. But since we can't have a Comic-Con this year in person, we're doing a couple of things. One is releasing this episode a year later from when the panel happened to let people watch some stuff as they've been streaming, and we've been messing around with the format of our show recently too, so we're gonna do something different. We've got a live show coming up this Friday.
Yeah,
so we're doing this. We're gonna do a Zoom to benefit One Somerville, and we hope y'all tune in for that. So that will be live. Something we haven't done before, just like haven't done this video thing right now.
I know, we're even after 400 episodes plus, we're still breaking new ground here for us. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know how I look. It's
gray. We can guarantee you that we don't look great. I mean, I don't have any teeth. It's the elephant in the room, as they say. We're going to be unboxing toys. We're going to be having some special guests. Maybe somebody that does one of our other shows, the Vampire Council, might have a guest from the Vampire Council on the show.
Yeah.
Who's to say? And who's to say who it even is?
Yeah.
Who could it be? Possibly be? I have this thing. It's an unopened box. This isn't the unboxing part, but an unopened box. It's 2019. Comic book trivia a day calendar, and I thought that it would be fun that if anyone was participating in the chat or just for us, you know, we're going to look at April 1st, we're going to look at October 6th, and ask whoever it is I guess if I ask myself the question, I won't look at the answer. But we're going to ask whoever's on, you know, what their birthday is. And if people are in the chat or tweet at us and tell us their birthday, we can pick one of those trivia questions and we'll all answer it maybe. So I think that's a good way to do a little bit of an interactive thing, a little bit of fun. So we're going to have it's called League Con at home. Oh, and you have a movie segment too you wanted to talk about.
I have a little movie segment. Yeah, we'll see. You know, just talking about some movies from 30 years ago, the summer of 1990, big summer. And we also, John Hunt, hopefully, should be presenting us with some of his work and how he does it and how he does what he does as lettering in the in comics. So
I've seen some of that stuff and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it should be pretty fun. Check our socials. Check all the socials for that.
It is that. I just wanted to make sure I got the time right. It's free. It's August 21st. It's at 8 p.m. And it's a Benefit One Somerville. And we'll be plugging them. That's Dick Tracy, because Dick Tracy came out that summer.
That's right.
And who else we got that I put in this poster? I don't know what you have planned. There's a Gremlin sequel, right? Back to the Future 3.
Anything planned, so we'll talk about it on Friday.
RoboCop.
RoboCop Recall. 2 came out. Die Hard 2. There was some great stuff. So.
Get your ass to Mars.
All right. Well, but now we're gonna cut to our panel. I hope you enjoy it. We enjoyed doing it. You know, thanks so much to Ken and Doc and Tishna and you, Clay.
Well, thanks. As we say around here, thanks to you. If you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe. I don't know where it is over there. If you're wherever you're hearing about us, be it Spotify, Anchor, however you listen to your podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You know, leave us a rating and review, because we're doing some different things now, and we want you to enjoy it, because we're enjoying ourselves switching it up a bit.
Absolutely. All right, so thanks a lot, and let's throw it to the panel. Celia. All right.
Lady, you fuck.
Excellent. Lady.
All right. Do you mind sitting here?
We're probably going to start again in a minute.
Yeah, this is a informal, because we're waiting. We don't want to waste you guys' time. Like the Joe Strummer in The Clash said, these people have things to do.
Do they, though?
This is our soft opening.
Now our co-host is stuck in an elevator at the moment.
Not in a bad way. The elevator works.
Literally. Is there a good way to be stuck in an elevator? Like, I don't know if that's
that movie. There was like an elevator movie, M. Night Shyamalan.
Again, is there a good way to be stuck in an elevator?
Yeah, I guess not.
Maybe if you're in a sitcom and it's with a pregnant woman, which happened in every sitcom. It's entertaining.
And she would go into labor, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's your show, gentlemen.
Yeah, we're a League Podcast. This is Ken Reed. I'm Clay. This is Matt. They'll do another round of introductions later, but figured we use this time to see what you guys are feeling. What was your favorite? Just blurt it out. What was your favorite comic book movie that came out this year?
This
year.
Okay.
There's been a few.
Yeah, there's been a few all time. Just go all time.
Go all time.
All time.
All time. Favorite comic book movie?
Superman the movie? The original?
Wow.
Okay. What was Logan?
Dark.
Ooh. Dark. Anyone see Logan Noir? That's like just the black and white cut of it. And
I thought it was a cologne.
For men.
Logan Noir is cool because they just corrected it to be black and white. And it's very cool. They did the same thing for Mad Max Fury Road. There's a silver edition, and it's kind of a neat way to watch that movie. It's a little different.
Yeah, well, any way to watch Mad Max Fury Road that's better than the original.
What?
No, I'm the only person who just doesn't
well,
like that.
Well, okay, so Matt, my girlfriend and I and Matt went to see Mad Max Fury Road. She's a huge fan. And we have a thing on the podcast where it's called the fidget and sigh factor that at first came up when Matt and I went to see Kick-Ass. And the whole time, Matt was next to me fidgeting and sighing about how much he hated this movie.
Not when Nicolas Cage was on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question about comic movies in general. Yeah. As a lifelong comic reader and movie fan. Do you prefer a self-contained movie or do you prefer a series of films? Because I kind of hate that.
You hate the series?
You hate the series.
Well, because it feels like you went out to dinner and then they're like, well, here's your appetizer and then come back next week.
Yeah.
And you can have the rest of the meal. And it might be great appetizer, but you kind of didn't go into it knowing that you weren't going to get the whole thing in one sitting.
Well, it's, you know, unfortunately, these movies, they just don't make any money. It's so, you know.
So they got to stretch it out?
Yeah, they got to, there's this little engine that could, that rolls along called Disney that, you know, just, I don't know. So I guess that's why they do it.
I know why they do, but do you think it's an advantage? Like, do people right. like the shared universe continuing story things, or do you prefer to see, like, Logan, which is fairly self-contained for the X-Men movies?
Sean, what do you have to say?
I think it's pretty cool, though, like, certain movies within that aren't wholly reliant on the larger story. Like my personal favorite, Winter Soldier. I think that that movie, if you can watch that by itself, you get a clear idea from jump, who's who, what's going on, and why they matter. And then if you care to like delve into like the rest of the series, you can. And, I mean, there's no rule that you have to, but you can definitely enjoy that one on its own. Now, you know, for the Dark World or Avengers Age of Ultron, you're kind of mired in the whole, oh yeah, this is entirely about everything else that's to come and we're already at.
Right. Like the way I look at it, as someone who grew up in the 80s reading comics, I always look at them like the big event series, like Secret Wars or like Invasion, or which I actually
always, Atlantis Attacks.
Yes. Which I always kind of hated. Hello.
Not interrupting.
I broke my leg, so sorry.
Rebecca Housel, everyone.
She's a rat.
Hey.
It's a big convention.
That's Tisha.
It is. Hello. Thank
we didn't
Tisha.
Formally get started. We were just chatting with our friends here, so we are definitely waiting for you for the main dessert.
Oh, am I the dessert? Is that,
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Could that be because of these? I don't know. I'm wondering. Okay.
Do you want to?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. Sorry.
Formal start time.
Yes,
everybody,
hi.
Welcome. Thank
so,
you.
So I'm Tish Nalodi. My name is Tish Nalodi. I'm the workshop coordinator for the Boston Science Fiction Film Festival, and we are basically hosting this. I reached out to League of Ordinary Gentlemen when we were trying to think of a comic book panel and how can we talk about it. So if you're not familiar with us, we're at booth 651. Come talk to us. We have a festival every February in Davis Square. I'd love to talk more about it, but we're already running a little bit behind, so let's dive in.
It's been going on for yeah. like 30 or 40 years, right?
The festival? So the festival is the longest genre. Yes, this
seems
panel.
Like it already.
The genre festival has been going on. It's the longest genre festival in the country. So 45 years is this next one coming up. So I hope
years.
To see all of you there. And we have a fun time. There's a 24-hour film festival at the end where we sit in a room, watch movies for 24 hours and wear pajamas and eat
and
food.
And Eliza Dushku might be there. And just ooh. Putting that asterisk out there.
Yes.
Not confirmed. But.
I say that about everywhere I go.
She might be there.
I mean, like she legitimately.
It's possible.
You never
no,
know.
But she legitimately, I've talked to her. She's legitimately
yes.
a possibility. She just
if
had
you guys
a baby,
have ever done a 24-hour
yeah.
film festival, that is an incredibly fun time. You feel really like you're out of your own body at the end of it. It's
yeah. Yeah.
So we were just talking crossovers of the 80s in comics and how the sort of current state of movies is reflecting that. And I don't like that. That was my statement. I don't know what other people think.
Hey, if it's done right, I'll see anything. You know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Whether it's shared universe, one-off, whatever. It's written well and done well.
And then you can have, I mean, largely I think people will fail Warner and DC for kind of trying to ape the Marvel model there by not really fulfilling what people's expectations are. And, you know, but we are introduced to Wonder Woman and Batman v Superman. And then we were just talking about it on the show floor. It's a favorite topic of mine, Justice League. I really enjoy that movie a lot. But it wasn't, you know, it's not a fan favorite. And they maybe should have kept with the solo.
Why do you think
movie.
It's not a fan favorite, though?
I just hear a lot of people panning it.
What people? I
Me.
Mean. Okay, I was gonna say I think this is because I thought it was a great movie too.
Thank you.
It introduced a lot of good characters, like Aquaman.
Yes, very cool. Very cool, Aquaman.
The characters seem very disparate in tone. That's one of the problems I always
that's
have.
That's DC, Kevin.
Which is why I like DC. Because when you look to me, DC is a very wide body of water, and Marvel is incredibly small but very deep. And what I mean by that is the DC characters are sort of archetypes. They're like, you know, Hercules. They're like
very
legendary in that you don't need every story to be an origin story because everybody knows it. And if they don't, it's like a half a sentence and you know, and then it's all about the take and the interpretation of the character. Whereas Marvel's characters are sort of contingent upon the soap opera-ness and the experience.
No, Marvel is based in science. It's all based in science. Everybody is a mutant. Like, they began talking about science-related things like radiation and how
True.
It affects cells, how it mutates cells, which becomes cancer, of course. As we know, unfortunately, I am one of those people. I wish I was Wolverine. When I go in the MRI, I'm like, this is just like X-Men, except I don't have claws or any special powers. Or maybe I do. I don't know. I can't seem to die. I'm a little afraid I might be a vampire, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, powers-wise, it definitely is more science fiction than mythical. But from a character perspective to me, which is why I think the Marvel stuff tends to lend itself to that serialized, interconnected universe, because stuff is very plot-heavy in that it's experience and event specific. Whereas, you know, DC, for example, if you look at Batman, you can have a horrific Ben Affleck, awful dark take.
Killing me.
But airing at the same time as, you know, Batman Brave and the Bold, which is very fun and Silver Age, and the Batman animated series, and three different versions of Batman that are going on in the comic. And they all make sense and
dark
are valid
Knight,
and work,
yeah.
You know, whereas
Dark Knight is good.
I think it's difficult with the Marvel stuff to have them all simultaneously work because they're not as broad a character.
So you think, and I don't know,
I disagree.
This is just me, but there's something about like where Marvel, like they have, it takes place in like New York or in like real, whereas DC is like Metropolis, like real cities as opposed to
they
made
make
up
stuff.
Is there something a little more down to earth and like?
I actually feel Marvel is deeper than DC. I think DC is more of like the fake, like fake cities and fake people like Batman. I just want to say, what rich guy is going, yeah, I want to save the world? I think we all know a rich guy who's not saying, I want to save the world. I think it's the opposite.
Well, rich guys go, I want to go beat up poor people at night.
No, they like, well, but they don't do the beating up.
Wearing a latex.
They gather, you know, they gather cohorts or other people like ICE, for example. You know what I'm saying?
Bill Gates is and the Melinda Gates, they set up a foundation, but it would be really cool to think
they
of
don't
him.
Have a utility belt.
Yeah, it would be really cool to think of him like as a mass vigilante at night. That's how he wanted to save.
That's how I see him. That's how I see him. Always. In latex.
In latex. Wow.
But I don't
mention latex.
I did bring up latex. This is actually a Trojan horse, pun intended, panel to just talk about latex for 45 minutes.
So. Now, the really funny part about that statement is that just yesterday, Ken and I were talking about porn. Me talking about porn, I should say.
Get ready for
Ken.
That explicit tag on
I
the
know.
Podcast.
Yes, the explicit. Oh, is this okay?
No,
is it all right if I say fuck? Is that okay? Can I say the F word? Is that bad?
Yeah.
It is?
You can say the F word. Fawcett Comics. So let's talk about Shazam.
Actually, Zach Levy is opposite us, right?
Yes, he's opposite. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
He's the opposite of me in all ways.
Really loud. All the swears.
But like, so Shazam, for example, did people enjoy Shazam?
I liked that
movie. I did not like it.
I love Captain Marvel, really, meaning Shazam. The problem I had with the Shazam movie was it wasn't kiddy enough to embrace the sort of cool 1940s Shazam, and they didn't make it sort of mythologically Egyptian enough to be a more adult movie. So it didn't it didn't mix well for me.
It matched Zach Levy's personality more than being true to the original concept.
Well, they should have made it more big and less Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like it's sort of, or the other way.
It was kind of campy though, Shazam.
It was the problem I had with Speed Racer, which was a movie that I loved, that was too adult for kids and too kiddie for adults. Like, which is movie, that's me. But most people probably aren't going to.
You resent that. It resembles you too much.
Yeah. So that's the one issue I have.
I resemble that remark. Yes.
When you try to be all things to all people and have incorporate all the tones in a movie, it can somehow it's a futon, as I call it. It's not a great bed and it's not a great couch, but it is technically both.
You can still have a great lay.
You can, yes.
Sorry, I had to go for that.
No, that was perfect.
Like something like Into the Spider-Verse, which I thought hit the tone absolutely perfectly, which is very difficult to do.
I agree with you there. We usually agree on most things, actually, so I totally agree.
Now that's a whole other aspect of this genre film comes out in between two Spider-Man films, after Avengers, after an Andrew Garfield failed reboot of Spider-Man, after we've had Spider-Man, and what they're able to do, which was a very comic booky kind of thing to do, was just comment on all of those things and then say, hey, we have a multiverse, and hey, we're going to animate this differently. We're going to use a lot of different styles. And it's like, wow, give me more of whatever that was, because I'm here for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, this is just a Sony money grab. Well, they still have the rights to Spider-Man, but it was actually a really well done movie. So
super well
done. I intro a little bit. Sorry, you know.
But it points out to me that any of those alternate Spider-Men in that movie, or women, as the case were, could have had their own standalone movie or pigs, and it could have worked. And that, to me, is the hallmark of a very good character and film take, where you can take the essential elements of that character, sort of what makes that character interesting, and build on it and have it be in a self-contained universe that works. And every single one of those could work.
So when it comes to this, just kind of bring it back to the shared universe and like the idea that these studios are like, all right, we're doing the universe thing, 400 movies greenlit already. Like, Into the Spider-Verse worked and it was amazing, but immediately after, they're like, we're going to make 400 of those, back the money truck into, you know, McFeely's driveway, and we're just going to do this with this character and this character and this character, so we don't lose the rights. And then you're going to have a situation where, like DC, they did one thing that worked, everybody was like, all right, Ben Steele, all right, not bad, all right, Greenland, Justice League, bomb rushing, whoever gets on the wall,
right,
for sure. Like, I feel like that's where Marvel succeeded, because they were very like methodical.
Kevin Feige
scientific,
had a very,
if you will,
specific thing he wanted to do.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're gonna bring it. They were also forced into it though, right? Like, they're like, all right, we have literally the C list. What can we do with these guys that no one cares about? But, like, don't you think that's going to kind of just perfectly fail? Like, what do you guys think about that?
So that, I would ask a question to your question, which sort of, that reminds me, do people feel that movies are an inherently incorrect format for superhero comics. And what I mean by that is the things that I feel like work the best, especially for DC and Marvel, are all the TV series, which I think by far outshine any of the movies, as they are the most like a comic book. Like, you're reading a serialized comic book that's a character arc. It's very difficult to make that into a standalone movie unless you're doing a comic book movie like Sin City or Ghost World or something that's not you know, a serialized ongoing.
Road to Perdition was a comic book.
yeah. And so I love things like Doom Patrol, I think is amazing, in the sadly canceled Swamp Thing series, or like Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the animated series, to me are the greatest superhero comic book adaptations that were ever done. And even the Marvel stuff.
I like Batman Beyond too.
Batman Beyond's very good. Yeah. And that's a shared
Beware
universe,
the Batman.
You know? And those things I love. It's like one storyline arc.
Well, and you make a great point too. A film adaptation, so this is like my area, is a whole different animal. It's not meant to be like a TV show. TV is different. You know what I'm saying? But we can turn TV shows into movies. We can turn movies into TV shows. It's just a different audience, a different demographic. Fans of superheroes want to see anything, obviously. And it was funny, you said the C heroes. So Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those C lines. Mm-hmm. It was discovered in one of those Marvel, hey, we want to get some diversity going. Let's hire some women and other people, others, and, you know, give them some old crap that we don't do anything with and see who can write a script. Well, she writes, this woman writes a great script in 2009. But when does Guardians of the Galaxy come out? It's not 2009 because
14, right?
Yeah, it was like 5 years later because the director, the guy that was
James
fired,
Gunn.
Yeah,
and rehired.
He felt the need to take her script and completely rewrite it. You'll see in the credits, she's not even credited. Nobody even knows this story.
I didn't know this story.
Yes, but I'm the pop culture professor, so I know the story. No, God. I would have been screaming from the rooftops. I would have been suing everybody.
Now, how do you think both of the companies, DC and Marvel, Warner, Disney, and even, I guess, including Star Wars, because I was going to say with Star Wars, at least they were like, hey, I guess we were just about to do a bunch of these movies, but I think we maybe messed up, so let's slow down a little bit. But how do you think they're doing as far as on the creative teams and with the actors and actresses, how do you think they're doing with representation as a whole? Is one better than the other, would you say?
I think it's all, you know, not great, to be honest with you. And it sort of is a political thing. It's not genuine. That's what I liked about the Spider-Verse, the animated Spider-Man movie. That was the first time we see an African-American Spider-Man. And a female Spider-Man, not the first time actually, because there's like multiple comics.
You got Spider-Woman in the 70s.
Well, there's also like Ariana. There's like all these different female Spider-Man characters in comics, but we don't see any films that way. And that was the big deal with Black Panther. It's Crazy Rich Asians, which we think is not related, but it is in terms of diversity. And Hollywood saying, well, we can't have Asian anything. No, it will never sell. We can't have women as central to any kind of movie, because they're using examples like Catwoman. I talked to these guys about that Catwoman. They write a script for Halle Berry, who's gorgeous and talented and unbelievably beautiful.
And a perfect Selena Kyle, actually.
Yes.
Think about it.
And they have her save the world from face cream. What a shock that it flopped.
Yeah.
Even though she's wearing skin tight leather and has a perfect body. I mean, I went just to see that.
I think the people who did also did.
Yeah.
But, as yes, did I.
But how do you expect women to succeed when you write scripts like that for them? You know, they can't. So Wonder Woman, Black Panther, Crazy Rich Asians, these all happened very recently. Captain Marvel. Now all of a sudden, you know, oh yeah. Oh, these do sell. Oh, wow. Let's think about that for a minute.
I think greenlit Shang-Chi, right? That's an Asian comic book hero.
Right,
which I've never read, I admit, I'm sorry.
I think that it also stems from the fact that the marquee names for characters, which is, you know, sad to say when it boils down, you have corporate conglomerates, they don't care about these movies. They just want to make money. So they want to make the movie that's the most popular possible for a thing they own. And the fact that anything good ever comes out of it is kind of a miracle. I mean, that's the way that Hollywood works. If anything good comes out, it's despite everything, not because someone at Marvel's DC or, you know, Disney is like, I love this. They all, none of them love it. The executives don't know anything about it. They don't care. And that's why every Spider-Man movie is an origin story, because every single executive that greenlights the movie is like, what is this thing? Tell me about it. Right? Well, we'll have to show everyone in the movie that that's how he can become Spider-Man, because they don't know.
You just turned in my mind to be actually J. Jonah Jameson. And
that's
what you're going to say. Yeah. Is this guy a menace or what?
He's an exec. But so the names they recognize is what they've made traditionally. And now that they've gotten past that, they've sort of caught up to comics in like the 70s, where they right, can go, oh, well, these will make money even if it's not a name I've heard of. So what do we own? So they're sort of mining things that maybe for patronizing reasons, I think, from a corporate perspective. But sometimes we get something great like Black Panther, which is what, 1965, Jack Kirby. So they're catching up, but it's sort of by accident.
Totally by accident, because Marvel, I mean, you know, started by Stan Lee. Rest in peace, Stan.
R.I.P. Stan.
Oh, man. I'm like getting teary-eyed now. Okay, anyway, back to you. He was the first guy, really, literally the first guy, to put women on the cover of comics via X-Men. Now, we talked about Wonder Woman, of course, was long
You love before. X-Men.
We love X-Men so much because they're fantastic in like so many ways, including this equality thing that actually was happening in the early 60s. And they created characters like Storm in, I think that was 1978. So they're creating these female, powerful female characters who aren't just white girls or white guys. They brought diversity to the table. So even though you're right, these executives do this stuff by accident, the comics already existed that right. were not an accident. Black Panther was happening, so and Black 40, Panther
40 years ago.
becomes the new Captain America in the comics. You all know that, right? You seen that happen? No?
We had
that, that's what we're heading towards in the movies, too. I don't know if they're going to manifest it, but...
Well, if you also look at the comic industry that we're mining from now, so that sort of second wave of Marvel where you got the all-new X-Men and Chris Claremont coming on, his two editors were women, one of whom had never even read a comic, you know, answered an ad in the Village Voice to work at Marvel. And because of that, they didn't have any preconceived, like, we have to do this or we have to do this. And so we ended up getting these innovative things. And the same with DC, where you bring on someone like Karen Berger, who founded the Vertigo line and brought on Neil Gaiman and Alan Moore and all these writers who started doing stuff that was less 12-year-old boy-centric. And again, that's 30 years ago. And I think that the movies are sort of catching up to that. If that makes sense.
Is there something that you want to see really bad? Adapted? That you think is a no-brainer and they haven't even talked about it yet.
Yes, a 70s set Ghost Rider. Okay. If you did a full-on Evel Knievel period piece Ghost Rider, it would be so great and they wouldn't have to mess with their shared universe. It could take place in the 70s. It could fit in with whatever, but that would be amazing.
Yeah. Rebecca, from a representation standpoint. Is there something that
why do I have to be the representation standpoint?
We're all white guys. Yeah. Look at
they're not going to give you a silly answer.
You don't know nothing about nothing.
Just because they're two white guys.
I will ask that to everybody.
All right, thank you.
I will ask that to everybody.
Do you have one?
Kamala Khan. But I am a small
part. She's got to be coming so along. She's got to be coming.
I keep hearing that they want to, but as a short Pakistani girl, I would really like to see that.
Phase 9, I'm sure she's right on
time. Yeah, right on the horizon.
I want to see Magneto, like a Magneto film. I want to see Mystique film. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a Storm-based film.
Some Solo.
I think. Yeah, Solo.
Some Solo X-Men movies. That's a brilliant
I want
idea.
Some Solo X-Men movies because Wolverine's got one. What the hell? He's awesome, but how many times can we see this guy with his claw? I mean, you know, I want to see, I like Hugh Jackman too, but I want to see like Storm. I want to see Halle Berry as Storm too.
But when they try to do something different.
I have a little girl with for her.
Oh, sorry. like The New Mutants is my favorite X-book of all time. And The New Mutants is probably the most female heavy X-team that there was.
Yeah.
Right. And they made the movie 3 years ago, and what I've seen of it, it's incredibly true to the comics. It's a horror movie, and you have magic, and you have the character, not actual magic, although that is in there, and these very strong, interesting, not necessarily super heroic women, and it got shelved. You know, that's,
of course it did, because that was pre Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, pre Crazy Rich Asians, and Black Panther. So now we hopefully will be approaching these things in a different way. Did you know, by the way, that Gal Gadot's contracts for Wonder Woman were only $300,000 a film for each film?
Ooh.
Do you know? You know
that's
how much
up.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Can you list Robert Downey Jr.'s pay in cocaine dollars?
Hey, that was less than zero. That was a long time ago. He hasn't been on his knees in a long time. At least not for that. Sorry, pop culture references.
I think that it would be cool to see, representation wise. I'm interested in this solo X-Men thing. Like a Kitty Pryde movie would be awesome too.
Yeah.
And you could really. You could do some cool stuff with that. That could be a TV show. That could be like something cool. But I would love to see Excalibur. I loved Excalibur.
Yeah.
And that's a cool team, and she's on it, and, you know.
Like, how great would a Kitty Pryde-centric TV show about a – it would be like The Worst Witch. It's about a private school for, you know, teenage girls who have powers. It's inherently – you know, it was
the
Harry
Worst
Potter.
Witch is really good.
It is really good.
I'm so glad you just – I just finished watching that second season.
Oh, was it my turn? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is, there's no representation-wise here, but you know, people know Doc Sampson, right?
The
lightning bolt on his chest.
Yeah.
I mean, the green hair, maybe that's represent. I don't know.
He's basically Fabio with green hair.
Yeah, like the green hair maybe is like the minority thing, but I just thought, I think the costume makes it. I wouldn't want them to do anything with that 70s lightning bolt, yellow lightning bolt on the red shirt. That's hero costume right there. How come you not seen more Doc Sampsons walking around the convention floor? It's so
everyone
easy.
Would think
why aren't you wearing the costume?
I don't have
that's
any hair
my question.
To die. Otherwise, I would.
It's a wig, dude. You see these people with that hair? Yeah, they're walking around the wigs. Come on, step up your game. No excuses.
All right. Next
would you
tomorrow.
Rather see – do you think if the movies were more standalone, we would see better representation? Do you think that the fact that they're part of the shared universe hinders that?
I think that any film right now – sort of to this guy's point, I don't know your name
That's
everything sort of seems to have this undertone of if it does well, it's going to have six other things to follow it. So I think that everything is coming at that sort of angle and you lose a little bit of the heart of it. So even when you do get a great standalone, so like right now Into the Spider-Verse is a standalone and it did great for representation. And it was an aesthetically beautiful film. It was the best Spider-Man film, in my opinion, I've ever seen. And I am afraid that they are going to take it. And I think that was a surprise. And I think they're going to see it, take it, and then lose that heart that it had and start to do the thing that
executives try to reverse
engineer
success.
Exactly.
Well, it's the Fantastic Four scenario. That's what you're describing. When that original one came out, each
Roger Corman one?
Each person. No. You know, the one with
never
like.
Officially came out?
With Chris Evans, who's actually a local boy from Sudbury. Chris Evans also played Captain America later on. I think he's one of the few people who actually did a successful crossover. But Fantastic Four comes out, and each of those actors, including Jessica Alba, has to sign a 12-year contract. That's the stuff that we don't see. And they're locked into those characters for 12 years. And then the movie doesn't gross what it's supposed to make. So they can it, you know, and then they're like, hey, wait, but now what? Now I can't play another superhero unless you're Chris Evans, who's also, side note, a white Christian guy. I'm just saying only they seem to be able to do whatever they want. Otherwise, you know, Jessica Alba, do you see her again? No.
When I look at her. Blonde and Blood was very weird.
That was like, very strange to me. That's a side note, but.
Company, yes.
I'm not really crying a lot of tears for Jessica Alba.
Yeah, yeah.
She definitely was.
But like a show like Dark Angel, which was not based, on an actual comic book, but is an incredibly comic booky show.
Absolutely.
This is maybe the third time I've heard about Dark Angel in the last couple weeks. I've never heard about it.
And there was a boom in the early 2000s of TV shows based on comics that were actually pretty good, that failed for a variety of reasons. But you have like the original Tick, you have the Birds of Prey show, which was completely removed from Batman, but had these characters from Batman that was an interesting take on shows and got sort of shoved under the rug. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming back to them 20 years later. Mm-hmm. But when I look at a movie like Green Lantern, which should have been Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, Green Lantern is Star Wars.
Yeah, it's but Deadpool epic, takes care of it at the end. Right, but it's Deadpool too.
It's an epic. It's Deadpool. An epic space. It's about a. So it's about space cops.
Space cops.
It's the Nova Corps, which is after Green Lantern Corps. Like,
yeah.
They should have been able to make that movie into a franchise, and they went too small with it. And so it's these weird. It's they try to. Use a model that was successful for a character that doesn't fit. And the best example I can think of is the 1990 Flash TV series, where they tried to make a Flash TV series based on 1989's Batman. And
you
can't get more different characters than Batman and the Flash. And you shouldn't try to make a Flash show like Batman.
Yeah.
I remember that. But some of what you're talking about is the cultural shift, the post 9/11 cultural shift, where humans became the monsters. So monsters had to become the heroes. So suddenly we weren't enough to stop horrible, terrifying acts that killed lots and lots of people. We had to be more. And so the sparkly vampires evolved, even though somebody had written about sparkly vampires 14 years before. L. Jane Smith's Vampire Diaries, the exact same plot line, except with sex before marriage, came out 14 years before Stephanie Meyer's Dream. I had a dream. What does she think she is?
It's a Christian Science.
I mean, you know, hey, well. Anyway, yeah, so it's like a cultural shift. Go ahead.
So like, I feel like the big issue with X-Men is they made every movie has to be like X-Men against this whole big beast. And the big thing with X-Men is the way they're dynamic with one another. So if they were to actually make a successful iteration of the X-Men, that maybe Disney needs to make an ongoing show of the X-Men that will then lead up to. Then you have a movie where it's, you know, maybe it is them against,
make
you know,
that jump.
Against Magneto, but you see the whole, like, everything.
You should be an executive.
I think you're, because they would be such a perfect group of people to have.
That's a great idea.
They show, you know, maybe they can fight this one, or maybe this one, it's really just, you know, whatever's going on, the whole, you know, Scottish.
Well, they had the Gifted instead of that. Yeah. Like watched that. It, unfortunately, but
even the Gifted, which I thought was decent.
Yeah.
That they suffered from the fact that what these movies have to do is have an end of the world problem that needs to be solved, because it's a giant movie. It's
usually a blue laser coming on.
Yeah, I mean,
that bassoon.
It's to jump away from comics for a second. It's the issue I had with the Doctor Who reboot series was. Every series, the world is destroyed and recreated again, and now I don't care anymore because it happens every single 13 episodes, so there's no more stakes anymore. So the huge high end of the world stakes become what's not interesting. It's those character interactions. And the strange thing to me is when I was growing up and the only comic book things we got were the Incredible Hulk TV series, which
– And Wonder Woman.
Right there.
But the reason those shows weren't – I mean, we liked them because it's all we had – but the Incredible Hulk's villains should not be evil developers. They're not guys with bulldozers like they were every week. That's not interesting for that character, but that's what they had to do on TV. Whereas now I've come
at the time,
and the shows, like the Marvel shows that I think are best, are things like The Punisher and Jessica Jones. I loved The Punisher.
Really? Oh,
because
so good.
The villains aren't super villains. It's a crime show. You know, and they're not these end of the world stakes. And like those I thought were the weakest parts of Daredevil. Like Daredevil made ninja zombies boring. The best parts about that show were the sort of Frank Castle stuff. Yes. Right. Matt Murdock's Catholic guilt and redemption and that sort of stuff. And you don't need these epic galactic space battle end of the world
stuff. And what about Jessica Jones and Luke Cage?
I loved
them. Love them.
And the worst part of Luke Cage to me was when we got a supervillain in the second half of the first season.
I kind of
agree
with you.
And it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
This is a great crime show. This is fantastic. And we don't need necessarily this additional element of danger. Yes.
Yeah. I think we're running
We are 5 minutes.
We got a few minutes left. Is there any kind of like where the trend is going? Want to speak to that a little bit? Or, you know, does anybody have any? Are we going up? Are we trending down?
Oh, for
are people
in terms
tired of it?
Yeah, are we reached the? Are we? The
oh,
gonna burst?
I think
what
that as Disney, when once Disney took over the Star Wars and Marvel properties, I think that there is no turning back, because Disney, we were talking about Netflix a second ago and those wonderful Marvel shows. Disney started their own streaming service, so they and Netflix are done. So you will not see more Jessica Jones. You will not see more Luke Cage on Netflix. You probably will not see it at all now, because Disney has their own streaming service, and everything, including Star Wars, is now Disneyfied. So it's a money machine. They're going to keep, they keep creating new rides in their theme parks. They're going to keep creating more movies as long as you keep buying the tickets. That's what's going to happen.
I will be.
The interesting thing about the Netflix yeah. cancellations is it actually didn't have anything to do with the streaming Disney service. Netflix had the rights for a long time, but the model of
but
those
they're
streams,
not going to play Marvel properties that are going to the, help their it's, competitor.
It's the streaming model is an issue in that for Netflix, if everybody who's subscribed to Netflix watches a show, it doesn't help them. What they need to do is get new subscribers. So they want shows that get people to sign up for that one show. And then they forget they signed up and they get charged $10 a month and forget about it.
$15.95.
Whatever
yeah,
it is.
Whatever
that
but
is.
That's their model. So if they have a popular show that doesn't bring new people into the platform, it's worthless to them, which is a really weird model. And it means that shows that have been successful and gone on for a couple of seasons
Santa Clarita
have
Diet.
No value to them anymore. And
yeah. But it did that in that in this case, it is because of the Disney break. They aren't going to help their competitors. So that's done. It
there is
done.
A rumor that Daredevil is going to be on FX. There's going to be a Daredevil FX
show. That would be
show.
Fantastic.
No Charlie Cox. Sorry.
But,
I mean, it's
but that's
rumor,
okay.
Because
I mean,
it's all about the right. I mean,
they've
yes,
told
not,
those stories
Where's
with that
Luke
cast.
Cage?
We've gotten that interpretation. A new one could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Whatever.
Sean, you want something?
But right now, it's basically an arms race. It's an IP arms race. Yeah. Everybody's like kind of getting, you know, Mark Miller's stuff is at Netflix and HBO is going to the max with their thing. Like, they had to go back to the 90s. And Disney has their thing. So, like, in 2 years, when that Netflix deal officially dies, we could very well see, you know, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones. Maybe not in their own kind of serialized situation. Maybe more of a Marvel-like one-off adventure.
Well, The Defenders was great.
My cynically glass half full idea is that because of the model of streaming where they want to have new people sign up, they will tap into markets that they don't currently have. And as a result, in a patronizing way, pull characters that are interesting or representing groups that haven't been represented just to get new people to sign up for these services. And we might accidentally get some good stuff.
Accidentally. That's how
Fingers
all the great
crossed.
Things are, right?
From
we just
a corporate
got the
perspective.
Call. I'm sorry. We got the thumbs up. I think we're ready to.
Well, that's a good place to,
yeah,
to wrap it up.
Anything it'll, you want to say to wrap it up?
If we get anything good, it'll be in an accident.
As it always has been.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so
thank
much for coming.
Thanks for coming
you.
To our panel.
Thank you. Enjoy the show.
Check out BostonSciFi.com for sure.
Yes. And LeaguePodcast.com.
Should I sign these?
Is there a good way to be stuck in an elevator? Like, I don't know if that's...